What's so great about? What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that is brave enough to really dig in and see what makes a particular topic so great. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, and you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Andy.
Yeah?
You think you can be a pervert and not pay for it?
Absolutely not, Terry. Absolutely. I learned that lesson a long time ago.
That was, of course, a vague and oblique reference to the fact that we'll be talking about Paul Thomas Anderson's fourth film, Punch Drunk Love. Before we get into that, Andy, got any news for me?
Could you
prepare something?
I have no news. Are you making stuff up? I've got no drink here. It was Myla's birthday there a couple of weeks ago, so I was getting her stuff in Smith's. It was her first birthday, and I was looking like at the baby section, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy who worked there, and he just kind of like he was hovering around a bit, and I was like, and he's like,
which Smith's is this? Town?
Carrick Mines.
Oh, right. Going to Carrick Mines.
Carrick Mines.
Hey! Intergortion. It's synergy.
And he was like, sorry, your name's not Tony, is it? And I was like, here we go. But he's my brother. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, you just looked a lot like him. And I was like, and then I kind of didn't say it. And I was like, yeah, I was like, oh, we're actually doing a show. More on that later. And all that. He's like, oh, right, very good. And like, he was just kind of like standing there. Like, it's like,
what do you want from me? Like,
what do you want me to say next? Like, yeah, no, just because you look so similar, or whatever. Like, he said it about three times. I was like, yeah, other people say that. I don't see it, but other people say that. And all this. And still nothing. And I was like, well, I'll tell him he's got a fan in Smith's anyway. He's like, well, I don't know about a fan. I was like, okay.
I've blown out the mics there completely, but I think he's got my respect.
And I was like, but he was so awkward about it. And I was like, he's like, oh, because beforehand he was like, oh, I've seen some of his videos, they're funny. I was like, oh, well, I'll tell him he's a fan in Smith's anyway. He's like, oh, I don't know about fan. I'm like, well, I'll tell him someone in Smith's has seen one of his videos once.
I'll tell him something else or something
I'll see
else.
Yeah. And then I walked, even though I still had the present to get.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I can't go back there. I can't go back.
You're in the car driving home, like, Gary, it's fucked.
No, cancel the birthday. Yeah. So then I waited like 5 minutes and then went back around, grabbed something. And
where'd you get her? There.
Great question. I got her here. Now this is I think this is a real dad thing to get her,
mm-hmm.
because she's obsessed with things that aren't toys.
You know? Oh, okay.
Like
yeah.
She likes to play with my wallet, taking the cards out, ripping up the money,
Sort
of stuff. And playing with the remote and loves to get hold of keys and all this sort of stuff. So I found this box that had a real looking remote.
Ooh.
Each button that makes a little noise. Also came with a set of keys and also came with a fake phone that you just basically just a bunch of buttons.
Basically a bunch of dog toys.
Yeah. And I thought, brilliant, because she won't think they're toys, you know. She doesn't play with them as much as I would have hoped, to be honest. But
I'm trying to think, she's not walking yet, is she?
No, she's pulling herself up.
Yeah.
And then that's
so
about
two
it.
Is when you get her the little sweeping brush. That is where, like, because I don't know how many kids in our family at that age are the two, they're always obsessed with like hoovers and cleaning and stuff like that. You get her a little sweeping brush.
Great.
Yeah. Like, she didn't actually
sweep. You did a real terrible job on the hallway.
Here's the mop. Do it again.
Yeah, so
gotta put him to work early, Andy.
I feel like I've got this year where it doesn't really, not that it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters to
First birthday, like, Faye was like, we have to get her this, 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 and this. And I was like, we don't have to get her any of that stuff. And she's like, why? I was like, because she won't know. And yeah. She's like, we'll know. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. It's more for the mother. The first birthday is more for the mother than anything else.
It is, yeah. Like, you know? To be honest, I'm just, if everyone's happy, I'm happy. That's my motto. Here's one for you.
Okay.
Here's one for you. So it's my birthday coming up in a couple of weeks, guys. but it's Kerry's birthday 2 weeks after.
Mm-hmm.
You know what she wants to tell you this?
No.
Rabbits.
Andy, you've already got a dog and a cat.
You don't have to tell me, dude.
Falcon is on the way.
I was like, straight up, I was like, I don't want any more heartbeats in this house. I was like, you know, the dog was already, you know, I'm not even going to get into the dog. So we have the cat.
He's your buddy.
So we got, yeah.
I see those videos you send me. Yeah, you love going out for a walk with him.
Yeah, he's a good boy. Yeah. But but we have the cat, the dog, two kids, and it's a small enough house. And now, so now we're getting,
got a big garden though.
The garden is big. Yeah. So she wants that anyway. And I kind of, you know, I was back and forth on it. I was kind of like, for the first day or two, I was like, no, come on. Like, that's crazy.
You are mental. Like.
The cat and the dog are going to destroy them, first of all. We're going to have to get one of these hutch things with a roof on. And
they stink.
Great. but then I also thought, but you know what? If it was left up to me, we would do nothing all the time. And the house would be a mess and we wouldn't have any memories because I would just want to just sit on my arse. So it's Kerry who actually makes me do things and pushes the family to, you know, have these nice memories. So I'm kind of just stepping back and I'm like, all right, that's what you want. That's what we'll do. Joni's excited. Kerry's excited. Who am I to say no?
Who am I? Let me put all my desires to one side.
Yes, exactly. I mean, she's going to have to look after them.
Yeah.
Let's not kid.
But it's different because it's an adult. It's not a child. You're like, no, you have to look after it. And then inevitably you end up looking after the pet. Kerry's a full grown woman. She can look after her own pet.
She understands.
Rabbits. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So
you're going to be sending me a video like, fuck, I cleaned out this hutch.
Mid clean.
Oh, Jerry, you don't understand.
Stupid son of fucking cheese. So that's all ahead of me. I'll have rabbits in the next month.
Great.
I'm
happy for you.
Yeah. I bet you.
I tell you what, I went to Glendalough for the first time in forever the weekend.
Beautiful.
Unbelievable. Like, how is this place? I mean, I'm all, again, like, whenever we're in the car and we're driving around, I'm to Faye like, look at these hills, these mountains. And she's like, Terry, I cannot, enough with you being marveled by nature. I'm like, but where, how does it happen or whatever? Look how high. She's like, I can't take it. You need to shut up about it. But like in Glendalough, like up at the lake, I was like, this is not Ireland. This is like Colorado or something like that. Like, you know, it's crazy.
It looks stunning. Yeah. That whole area, the Wicklow Mountains, that whole area is just amazing.
Very lucky. I tell you, I landed on my feet. Getting out of Dublin.
Do you feel now, after all the stuff is behind you, of getting there, are you very happy with your decision?
Yes,
to be?
100%.
Yeah.
A few things in the village you kind of would like a bit more. Not a pub closed down.
You got a lot to learn about this town, city boy.
Another pub closed down, so we're down to two now. Like, they are building up a bunch of like more houses, so I'd say in the next few years more stuff will open.
Yeah,
but I'm like, because I was only in the pub, it's a real dank scum pit.
The dank,
point shite. But I was there at my dad.
They closed down.
I was there at my dad on Saturday, a couple of weeks ago, and it was like, it was like blaring music. We stayed for one point and we left.
Sounds like a terrible place.
Yeah, but it was full of like youth. So I was kind of like, it's nice that there's somewhere.
That's
for
a mark
the,
against it, to be honest.
Yeah, but it was nice that there was somewhere for the young crowd to go. They had a pool table. They had, you know. And then on the Monday, it's like, Faye's like, you know, that's his last day. I heard down the village. I was like, oh. Like, if we were going to a pint, I would bring you down to the hotel bar.
Love hotel bars, I will say. And I'm not a man who loves a drink, but I love a hotel bar drink. I feel safe in a hotel.
Yeah, this was like Saturday night. They had some guy singing karaoke, essentially, and he had like a guitar, pretending to play the guitar. So he had like his like.
What?
I was like, yeah, no,
really
like,
committing to it.
Yeah. So like he just, I was like, wait a minute, he's not playing the chords properly or whatever. And then I was like, oh, of course not. There's drums and all going on here. Like,
and where are those backing singers?
Yeah.
You know, I have so many fantasies about lesbians. Probably, I'm just watching. I have so many karaoke fantasies.
All right.
Whenever there's a song that I'm like, that's my next karaoke song. Mm-hmm. And like, I mightn't have done karaoke in 10 years, but I'm always thinking, I tell you what, I nailed it. Tony had a Stars in Their Eyes thing for his 30th.
I was invited. I was too fucking sick go. Like, and I was like, tempted to just go in.
Hello.
I was like, I'm just going to wreck everybody's buzz. Like, yeah. Like,
happy birthday. Yeah. No such thing.
It's like, Terry, who are you dressed as? Like, nobody. Like, sweat.
Well, he's really good. He's got that Shane McGowan look down. I was just full up, you know.
I remember it.
Yeah, George Michael.
Feathered and hair. Feathered and beautiful cat.
Yeah, and it was Freedom. But yeah, I'm always thinking, they're always Freedom. George Michael song. Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, and it was, and it didn't even have the lyrics. It was a proper, like, I spent a week memorizing.
Wow.
It was just a stage.
I was actually planning on going as Neil Hannon from The Divine Comedy.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Know all the words.
National Express?
I don't know. It was, you know, I often think and try and do a different one.
Yeah,
and there's a couple that like fit my vocal range, but like
National Express is perfect for your vocal range.
Yeah.
If I may say,
I remember being in Australia, and it was we were going for somebody's birthday. It was like a bowling alley. You go to drink, but then there's like a room you rent for karaoke. Brilliant. As well. So like we could go bowling after the karaoke. It was great.
I don't do shit like that. I'd love that.
And it was fantastic. Again, we were all in our mid-20s. Yeah. So it was like, no, nothing. You can do whatever you
do
want.
Whatever the
stay
fuck
up
you
till
want.
Fucking 6 in the morning. Like, no repercussions the next day. Like, but it was like, we were doing it. And then it was somebody was like, you're going first. And I was like, I don't want to go first. And it was like Egan and his wife Sinead. It's like, no, you're going first. You're a karaoke guy. So then I was like, I just like had a whiskey and just like chugged it back. And then I was like, because I hadn't had a drink yet. I know myself, if I go sing karaoke without a tipple on me, I like, you do not sound the same.
You have to grease the wheels.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it was like, did National Express, and then let's just say it set the tone for the rest of the evening. Pun intended.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I love a good point.
I haven't had karaoke in ages, man. No,
yeah, so we should do.
You know, I was thinking about this since our last episode, and you put like Supertramp.
Yeah.
I was like, that would be one I would love to do.
If you could have three non-divine comedy songs, what would your karaoke tunes be?
Let me see.
The songs that you know well, that you're comfortable within that range.
Does Dr. Hook, The Millionaire.
Wow.
And I Got More Money.
Yeah.
There's that.
It's only Dr. Hook's song, famous song that I don't really know.
Is that one?
I just know it from the Lotto ad, but
yeah.
I love it.
And then I start listening to it all the time.
Oh, right.
You're Gorgeous. I'd do anything for you. One that I would like to try out is Republic of Loose, the Steady song.
I don't know that one.
It's very
I won't
hard.
Ask you to
It's
sing.
Very hard, no. But that'll be, because I listen to that quite a lot. I'm just hoping that, you know,
I'm waiting for the opportunity to come up. I thought maybe at the stag there would be the chance
of a karaoke.
For karaoke.
You'd stumble across it.
Yeah, we'd stumble into it, but you know, probably better it didn't. But I'd probably go George Michael, if you're asking. George Michael.
Yeah, you said that.
Fast Love.
Oh,
did that at my
leaving party,
and I would love to do Careless Whisper as well.
Now, I told you about my karaoke story with Careless Whisper.
No.
So Faye, we were on holidays in Portugal. Faye's a huge George Michael fan. And one night we were very drunk. Well, she's more drunk than I was. We went into the karaoke bar. They had karaoke every night. And she was singing Careless Whisper. But something was wrong with her mic, or you couldn't really hear her. And then I was like, kind of at the bar, like chuckling away to myself. And the barmaid knew we were together. She like gave me a mic and she was like, pushed me out. And so, like, I walked onto the stage and it was a bit like, I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty. It was a real, like,
lovely.
Ridiculous. Like, you couldn't write it. Like,
already here. I love you, Terry.
Quiet. But it was like, I don't know, it was kind of something that's like, we're talking about like main character syndrome last year. It's like, yeah, oh, this is like somebody has written this for me. Like, yeah,
oh, that's a nice memory. I like that. Yeah, I think that's a great karaoke song to.
Yeah, tough one though.
In
like,
general, I feel like I could.
So I didn't know any of the words. Right?
I can't do it. Now that you're gone, you know.
Wow.
Do I have to leave me alone?
Is that Tony Cantwell over there?
Anyway.
That's about it, really.
That it for the preamble?
Well, if you want to get it stuck in.
I do. No, cards on the table. Hand on the table. I have no notes.
Okay.
I'm just vibing.
I actually have no notes either.
Oh, okay.
Vibes. I got plenty of buff. Okay. I got some buff.
Okay, I was going to say. You're not riffing on the buff.
I got some buff, okay? I got some buff.
All right, well, let's listen to this trailer and come back with some buff.
Sorry about that. I wanted to ask you something because you're a doctor, right? I don't like myself sometimes. Can you help me?
Harry, I'm a dentist. What kind of help do you think I can give you?
I'm gonna go and eat tomorrow night. Do you want to go with me?
I didn't ask for a shrink. That must have been somebody else. Also, that pudding isn't mine. Also, I'm wearing a suit today because I had a very important meeting this morning and I don't have a crying problem.
Okay.
This is Barry.
Hey, baby, I guess we got disconnected before.
How did you get this number?
You canceled your credit card. I need you not to cancel your credit card and I need you to up your limit.
Four blonde brothers came after me.
Fuck, where you going? We know where you live.
What's the problem?
One of your employees has been threatening me.
Shut up! Will you shut up? Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
I have a love in my life. It makes me stronger than anything you can imagine.
All right. That's that.
That was, of course, the trailer for 2002's Punch Drunk Love, written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. It is his fourth feature. Andy, care for some buff?
Please.
Hit me with the budget.
Okay, I'm going to say...
Now, Magnolia was $37 million.
Yep. So that was his biggest ever.
Keep that in mind. Okay. That was his largest budget ever.
I will say the budget for this was... $5 million.
Surely you jest. 25 million.
25? You can't say it's on screen.
I mean,
this looks like a independent film. Did I just get a bad torrent?
No, it's shot that way purposefully, you know.
Okay.
It's shot kind of low aesthetic, bare bones. Yeah. Can everybody guess the opening weekend? This is the wide weekend. 600 theaters.
Now, you throw me when you say, see, I don't know if that's more or less.
That's like, it opened to like 7 theaters. So I'm not giving you the very 7. Open. Yeah, like they sometimes do that. They roll it out to be like, hey, select screenings. Go see the new Paul Thomas Anderson movie. So you
P.T. Anderson.
PTA. You notice that it's Paul Thomas Anderson, written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, as opposed to a P.T. Anderson film.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's moved on.
And why isn't he just calling himself Paul Anderson?
Well, maybe his name is Paul Thomas. I don't know. You were supposed to get him on here to answer this question.
It's
works. A work in progress.
I'm going to say opening is 4 million.
5.8. So you're within the splash zone. Domestic total?
Domestic total, 12.
17.8.
Ah,
so you're just outside. I'm not going to give it to you.
No, that's fine.
Worldwide?
17.9.
So it made 100,000 overseas.
No, I'm just joking.
23. 24.6. Andy, you're getting there, man.
I'll tell you.
Rotten Tomatoes. It is certified fresh.
You say that like, oh, well, obviously.
Well, that's like over 50 or whatever. It's over 60.
I'm going to say 72.
79. So not within the five, but still close.
Audience score?
Audience?
81.
77.
I'm pretty good at this.
Yeah, not bad, man. Not bad. You're getting there. No Academy Award nominations. Crazy, in my opinion.
You think?
This is the year, okay? 2003 Oscar. The best director is Roman Polanski. For The Pianist, has not aged well.
The Pianist as well. Great movie.
Yeah, it's okay.
I fucking love The Pianist.
of all movies. Like,
I fucking love The Pianist. And it's long. And I don't
Adrian
care.
Brody, best actor.
Yeah.
No love for The Sandman.
I loved it. If you do an Nazi movie, you're getting all the awards. We know that.
Chicago won 6 awards. Mental.
Absolutely no time for that, to be honest with you.
But PTA did win Best Director at the Cannes Film Festival.
Go on.
And it was nominated for the Palme d'Or.
What's that mean?
That's like the big prize.
Okay.
So like the big prize, when you do the Cannes Film Festival, 6 or so are nominated for the Palme d'Or. So it's like Best Picture at the Oscars for the Cannes Film Festival.
And is that almost worth more? Let me just adjust my
Here. Like,
would some people rank that way higher esteem than the winner or nominee of Best Picture?
Yeah, I think so, like say film critics or people in film enthusiasts, shall you say,
like yourself?
Yeah, would, because like I think about how Joaquin Phoenix won the best actor at the Cannes Film Festival for one of my faves, You Were Never Really Here.
Oh yeah,
you tried to watch that like 4 times.
I did.
Yeah.
4 times?
Yeah,
I remember trying to watch it. I really
When we're doing
Hitmen, really struggle with Joaquin Phoenix as well now.
You got a couple coming up.
Kind of think fuck him every time I see him on screen.
You got a couple coming up, Andy.
Great.
We'll do it when we do Hitmen movies or something like that. Like, you know,
I'll fit it in. If we're doing Hitmen movies,
how else are we gonna do Collateral?
Scraping.
How else are we gonna do Collateral?
Cruise movies.
You can't do cruise movies.
Why can't we?
Why can't I just be happy?
Why can't I just have movies?
There's too many cruise movies. Okay, we could do cruise. I mean, you're not like exactly A-lister. Twisting my arm to do Tom Cruise.
You know what I'd love to do as well?
Yeah.
I'd love to do like those what do you fucking call them? Like those like A-listers, but like they're classic movies. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So like De Niro. I've only seen Taxi Driver before Goodfellas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Cape Fear. And there's so much I haven't seen of De Niro. So many haven't seen Godfather 2. So like Brando movies.
Maybe we'll do Coppola.
Fucking Burt Reynolds movies. Something. You know what I mean? But like big movie star.
What's so great about the 70s? There's your answer right there, my friend.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for. Like Deliverance, Godfather 2, Raging Bulls 81 maybe.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like there's some 80s ones I'd like to get in there.
80s is trash.
Is it?
Jeans trash.
Anyway.
Okay. Some fun facts for you.
Please.
PTA stated that after Magnolia, he wanted to move away from the cancer and the crying and make something that would make him happy. Mm-hmm. He went as far as stating that while promoting Magnolia, that his next movie is going to be a 90-minute movie starring Adam Sandler.
Well, did he know what it was going to be yet?
I don't think he had him signed up. Or he talked to him about it, but because Sandler said he went to see Magnolia in like a packed screening, and he was sitting in the front row, and he was like, "Oh my god, I can't fucking do this. This guy, like, I'm gonna fuck it up." Like, essentially, he thought. So, like, at least you know, you could see where his head was at. He was spent after Magnolia. Yeah. He was drained. Of Sandler, PTA said, "I love him. He's always makes me laugh. If it's a Saturday night and I want to laugh, or I'm feeling sad, I'm popping in a Sandler movie." The last thing I would want to do is watch Magnolia or Breaking the Waves. Mm. I was looking at him and thinking, I want a piece of that. I want to learn from that dude. Which I found very interesting. Like, he always talks about his performance in Big Daddy.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's phenomenal. He's brilliant in that movie. And I'm like,
well,
yeah.
I would have never thought of it, really.
Big Daddy, yeah, because it's not...
Big Daddy is probably one of his best...
Like, it's...
comedies.
It's... It's not broad. It's not super broad. It has heart. And like he is a real person in that movie. Yeah. As opposed to like Billy Madison.
Mammoth Death.
Coach Klein. Mr. Coach Klein.
Interesting.
The idea of the pudding scheme was based on a real story that happened in 1999. David Phillips did the exact same scheme depicted in the film. He purchased $3,140 worth of pudding to redeem a whopping $1.25 million in frequent flyer miles.
And they gave it to him?
Yeah. I mean, they had to.
Brilliant.
They had to honor it.
Love it.
He said, Anderson stated that his only intention was to make a funny movie. It's nice to make movies that are funny, he said. And at the same time, he states, I wish it was funnier.
I look forward to it.
I wish there was more laughs. A French reporter pressed him on the nihilism in the film, and he said that there's a social commentary about consumerism, to which PTA responded, no, nothing nihilistic. I just wanted to make an audience pleaser, the exact opposite of what you're talking about.
So fuck you.
And this is the last one I have. Anderson invited Robert Altman, his movie-making hero, to watch a cut of the film at his house, just the two of them. And they were sitting in... they were watching it alone, sitting in two chairs, when the needle drop for He Needs Me kicks in. And he hadn't told Altman that he had used it. It's from Robert Altman's movie Popeye.
Okay.
With Robin Williams.
Hey!
And when it started, Altman started directing or conducting with his fingers. And then he stood up at the end and gave it a standing ovation. His wife and his granddaughter then came over that night and they all got really drunk. PTA says one of his favorite evenings.
That'll be a nice memory for him.
Yeah, because like he was his hero, and he died like a couple of years later. He had cancer.
Right.
And like PTA was even on set as part of an insurance policy when he was making his last movie. In case he died, PTA would take over the duties.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty mad. Crazy.
And was that Robin Williams' Popeye movie, was that bad?
Yeah.
Was it?
It's like...
I remember liking it because it was Popeye.
Yeah. Like it's... Well, I don't know.
In the same way I liked Super Mario Brothers when I was a kid.
I'd like to go back and watch it maybe, but like it's... Like Altman is kind of renowned as this guy who is... The huge ensemble director, very naturalistic. The dialogue, like the camera might be moving from one side of the room to the other, and you'll hear somebody talking, and then their voice will fade out as he moves on to the next person or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird, not by studio film standards, an odd way of shooting.
Okay.
So he has this style, and then like apparently needed a lot of money because he was broke, and he did like Popeye and a few other movies that are like...
Right.
It's a gig kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
A studio gig, you know what I mean?
Interesting.
And it was kind of panned when it came out. I'd like to watch it again. I went to where they filmed the end of it. You know, like the...
I don't remember it, really.
It's in Malta. And it's you go on a boat to these, like, coves or whatever. And it's like the water is, like, turquoise. It's fucking beautiful. But your man was like, this is where they filmed Popeye.
Hey. You stand up for your camera.
Look, Dad, Popeye. Sit down, kid.
Okay. Interesting.
Andy, hit me. I feel like you're not going to give it to me this week.
Look, I don't know. Will I ever give it to you? I liked it.
Okay.
I wasn't blown away.
Okay.
I thought I was going to like it a bit more.
Ooh.
Because I remember, like, up until watching it, like I watched it when I was whatever 17, 18, whenever it came out, and I think I said I liked it more than I actually did because it was made me sound cooler.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a huge Adam Sandler. No, you know what? I did like it at the time because I was a big Adam Sandler fan, and it was very much like playing to Adam Sandler's strengths. You know, like it was a movie made around him, I think, which is not a bad thing. I think overall I thought I was going to like it a little bit more. There's a lot of things I did like and there's some things that I didn't like.
What didn't you like?
This is where I probably should have taken notes. I don't know. It just wasn't my kind of movie. Like, you know, it was a bit too... Like, I don't want to use the word slow because it almost felt like a 45-minute movie. Like, mm-hmm. it was, and PTA has this very good sort of pacing that his movies trot along with, and there's always this like music in the background, like dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, you know, sort of stuff that's building tension and all that. It just didn't have quite enough for me, and it didn't have enough of a resolution. I don't, you know what I mean, for me, in the way that, like, I think he's still gonna have all his problems once the cameras leave.
I mean, that's life, Andy.
Yeah, I know that, but I like there was parts of it that I really liked. But if you're asking me the parts that I didn't like, it's hard to put my finger on. It just wasn't my kind of movie. Mm. It wasn't enough.
Okay.
You know? But what I did like about it, if you're asking.
I
thought Sandler was brilliant.
Best performance he's ever done.
Yeah, probably. I thought he was fantastic in it. Almost perfect.
Yeah.
You know?
For me, I don't know, like, you say, like, no Academy Award nominations. Like, how do you not nominate him? Like, it's
because he has the stench of comedy all over him, and the, like, Academy are allergic to comedy movies.
Almost like that, because it's him going the other direction, it should be like, oh my god,
yeah,
Adam Sandler, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he should have been nominated for Uncut Gems as well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But he was not.
So he's never been nominated. Well, I mean,
no. But like, those are the two big chances he's gone for. I mean, he's tried it a few other times.
Nominated for Rain on Me, or
fuck off, that fucking movie. You're obsessed good movie, with it,
man. It's not good.
It's not good.
Don Cheadle's in it.
Yeah, I know. You don't need to tell me. I love Don Cheadle. It's just not good.
I liked it.
Okay, but like, I'll
probably watch it again now and hate it. But yeah, I thought he was. I thought there was great chemistry between him and
Emily Watson.
I know her name.
Okay, you son of a bitch.
And there was parts of it that I really liked. Like, I really enjoyed. It's hard.
I thought this guy would resonate with you. Like, I thought, like, this guy
socially awkward.
It's just like you're. You know, you can be tightly wound sometimes. And like, this is what this guy, he's coiled.
That's why I kind of liked him. Like, yeah. Well, not just that, but like, it was a great performance. But I kind of like,
I think it's such a nuanced performance in that, like, you see him at the start and he's like you say, socially awkward. Like, literally when he sees Emily Watson's car pull up, he's like, oh no, like, literally, like, backs away into his garage or whatever. And then, and he does that a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then I read something that it was like, once he starts winning, he doesn't stop winning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's about halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
But he shows you everything of himself.
It was quite, I want to use the word enchanting. It was quite enchanting.
It's a charming movie, Andy.
And I noticed it. And the movie definitely sped up as it went. You know what I mean? Like, the pacing or whatever it was sped up. And particularly after they met each other, I was like, there was a few times where I was like, ah, that's nice. Like,
that's, you should. That's anytime, a natural reaction to it.
Anytime that, like, you know, when he was gonna kiss her and then he leaves and then she's like, I just want you to know I was gonna, and I thought when the phone rang, I was like, oh, it's gonna be bad news now. But it was her saying, oh, I actually just want you to know I was going to kiss you there.
So good.
Yeah, and then he goes back, can't find her,
so
find the apartment.
So good, like.
And, like, he gives her a great kiss. And then, you know what I loved even more than the kiss, though, was, like, whenever he'd kiss, he would just, like, kind of, like, bury his head in it. And she would just be, like, you know, they'd be real close. And I'm like, that's great for him. He needs that.
Tell you, this is what any man needs, is just a woman to look after him and say it's okay,
it's all okay.
And it's just for him in this, because he has never experienced any, like, I watched it on Sunday and I spent my day rewatching it again. It's on YouTube. Whoa. Guys,
what,
if anybody is looking for it, I found the full thing on YouTube.
Could have done with that news.
Yeah, well, I only found it this morning. I was googling scenes and it's like Punch Drunk Love full movie 135.
Okay.
And so I was like jumping around in it.
Wow. There,
but like, this, how do I describe it? Like, the way he opens the movie.
Yeah.
Like, you get to see, like, oh, it's completely different from the opening of Boogie Nights. Is like this big bombastic long shot taking you in. Opening of Magnolia is like, oh, the three stories, and then you get the introducing everybody, and then literally you're opening this guy on the phone talking to somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
It's real. I'm like, oh, he's completely complete departure. He's not like, look at what I can do.
Yeah.
And then sort of he is, because when he goes to get the harmonium, he keeps the camera at the end of the lot and just watches Sandler like,
yeah,
run towards back. And like, yeah, drops his coffee cup. Like, it's like, that's one take, Adam. You're going to be picking that up and you're running for, yeah, the whole time or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Just,
I definitely noticed some PTA-isms throughout the whole thing. Can I ask you, though, as, you know, a connoisseur,
mm-hmm,
what did you appreciate about what Paul Thomas Anderson did with this movie? Like, the performances aside, from a writing and directing, what makes this film
I was inside his head.
Right.
Like, literally, the score, the camera movement, everything. I'm like, oh my, like, it's building up constantly, and I'm like,
and you,
oh,
do feel like you're feeling what he's feeling.
Oh my, I'm like, leave him alone. Like, all those fucking sisters are like, and hey, so gay much- boy, oh, why did you have the hammer? And like, he's like, I don't know. And I was like, I'd say that. Like, I'd be, or like, I'm feeling the same way he's tense. Feeling. He's like, I'm worming my way towards the door,
yeah,
to get away from everybody. And he's like, oh, hi, giving them a kiss in the cheek. But he's like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And they're all like, just like on him. And then like, when he does fucking erupt, and like that scene where like,
great thing,
he punches the glass or whatever, and like the fact that one of them doesn't break,
yeah,
is perfect as well. Yeah, and then they're like, yeah, fuck you, Barry, fucking hell. Like, yeah. And he's like, you know,
the next scene he's confiding in one of the guys.
Like, I'm a dentist, Barry.
I thought that was so, and like, that was so, like, because he's like, I don't like myself sometimes, mm-hmm, and you know, all this, and just the guy was so dismissive. He's like, what do you want me to do? I'm a dentist. You know, I'm like, just fucking help him.
No, but then he does. He's kind of like, if you want me to get your shrink, you know, I'll get your shrink.
I thought he could have been nicer.
Yeah, but I don't think he's not being nice. You know what I mean? I think he's just,
I guess,
a bit checked out.
His window's like, just been smashed.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's like, oh my god, this guy. Yeah. Like, and like the when he meets her, the scene where the sister brings him to the apartment, and actually, like, maybe we should chat about the phone sex scene.
The
first time I watched it, I remember being like, this is extraordinary character work that somebody would know their MasterCard number off the top of their head. I'm like, that says loads about him.
Yeah.
Like, you can't tell me your card number, like your 16-digit card number off the top of your head, can you?
I could give you 12.
Could
digits.
You?
Yeah.
Fucking.
I think so. I could give you two or three of the batches of four.
I could give you maybe six. Maybe eight. But not in sequence.
Why don't you try and give me the number on the front, then give me the expiration date and the 3-digit security code, and we'll see if it matches.
Sure, no problem. This is confidential, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And like, then like, listing off the social security thing, I was like, wow, like, this says so much about, yeah, this guy, that like, he knows this off the top of his head. Like, he's nothing really else going on in his life.
Yeah.
And then like,
do you think you would ever call a phone sex line if you were single?
No.
And ready to mingle.
What do you get out of it? Like, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we have it all there.
It's worse than porn.
The touch,
really,
of your fingers, like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's pathetic. You guys are pathetic.
Here's an idea for something new. How about you guys actually locate your dicks, remove the shrink wrap, and fucking use them?
But then the next scene, like I was saying, when, you know, that phone is ringing constantly, and she, and like, that, like, like, all that is coming, yeah, up, and then, like, Luis Guzman, because he's trying to get rid of Lena, he's trying to get rid of her, and he's like, we got to talk about that guy in Toledo,
yeah,
and then,
yeah,
like, he comes into the office later, and I'm like, what guy in Toledo?
Yeah.
He's like, that doesn't matter, like, but it's all this, like, everything is like closing in.
That's what it feels like. There's stuff happening to him all at once.
Yeah, and like,
you think of not now, or, yeah, something will happen, and you're like, oh.
And then it's like, your sister, and like, he's like, hello, you know, like, constantly.
You just so want to get into his head and be like, fuck off, calling,
yeah,
me.
Like that.
You fuck off, and you fuck off.
Like the bit where he smashes the funger.
Yeah.
He's like, we got these new things that don't smash. Yeah. And like, that's so funny to me, yeah, that it's like, oh, I'm sorry, that's can we,
that's,
get a new one?
A little embarrassing.
Yeah. Like, sister on line four, he's like, hold on 1 second. Like,
if I can talk a little bit about your boy Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Hell yeah,
he was good in this again.
How different than
very
all,
different.
Yeah,
he's a comedian. He's a sniveling putz in Boogie Nights.
Yeah, he's the warmest man on earth in Magnolia,
and he's believable as all those things.
Oh my god! Like.
And I would think watching this, oh yeah, he's got a very sort of that's evil the look. Character face.
I want that look. I want that look. Like,
just keep growing the hair and
growing
you know.
the tum a little bit more. Yeah. Like, and then just like stand on my hands and my hips.
Shut up. That was a great scene on the phone.
But like him on the other end, when he's like, "What's your name?"
And
like he's lost it at that point.
Yeah.
And you get like when he's like, "Did you threaten me?"
Yeah.
Oh, you're dead. Like he's so funny.
What's that thing that you sent me?
It's a deleted scene.
How could they not use that? Philip Seymour Hoffman, by the way, he's like on the top of the store with a guitar and like he jumps onto...
It's a Mattress Man commercial that they're filming. And like
he's like, he's testing out whatever. He jumps on like a bunch of mattresses that are on top of a car and just bounces off like a good 10 feet in the air and like lands on the ground. Like that's him doing it, right?
Yeah.
So he does
stunts. And the four brothers that like, they're it's not like crew members are like, oh my God, are you okay?
Yeah.
They're in character. Being
I had to watch it twice to see. Yeah. Is that PTA and co? No,
it's the four brothers who are actually brothers.
Because he proper eats shit. Yeah. Like. That's commitment, and they don't even use it. Like.
Now, I want to talk a couple of more scenes about, like, the scene where he, after you're saying he leaves the apartment, and he's confronted by the four brothers.
Yeah,
and like he gets them the money, and like he's being like, "Look, I just want to say this is really unfair."
Yeah,
and like your man. Who like comes or the big guy like for no reason like, he's not even like he's barely talking he's not even talking shit he's just like saying like you know this is a bit unfair and then him being like
please
and then like when he's running away like he's in proper like little Nicky mode he's like and you're like what the like you know it's true you know
I quite liked there was a certain scene when he was running away where it was like the wall behind
the
him
shadow
white.
yeah
and it's just like this is like something out of like almost like a cartoon or something like it was,
and he's acting
you know?
Like a cartoon dog he's like like there's a jump
and off. I love and you could see it in him and like when they bump into him with their car on purpose and like his girlfriend gets like you see a bit of blood rolling
and
down
like
her head.
I love how it's just a trickle of blood and like he turns into the fucking Hulk.
Yeah. And know? It's like, it's somewhat believable though.
It's completely believable from what you've seen. Like he fucking destroys.
He seems so weak. And
a
now
bathroom though. Like he like when they have that scene at dinner and she's like, oh, your sister told me. It's actually one of the best bits of acting I've ever seen where she's saying to him, your sister told me a funny story. And before she even says it, he knows what's coming. Mm. And he does this like little hand motion as in like fuck off like and he's like like it almost like does like a little like slap and then he's trying to keep it together and he's like she's a liar I've used the bathroom like fucking destroys the place like it is and like then your man is being like sir he's like did you destroy the bathroom like I'm gonna have to ask you to leave he's like can I just stay he's like sir I'm gonna crack your fucking head in. See, it's funny, man. Like, it's
so
funny.
There was parts that were really funny, and the part out of all the movies that we've watched so far, the part that I laughed. I laughed at a bit of Tom Cruise last week, but I did laugh at when he goes all the way to Utah or whatever to confront
the phone.
First of all, he's carrying the phone the whole time, and then like they have this funny sort of standoff where it's like. They're both kind of a little bit like, you know.
Like I think Philip Seymour Hoffman is completely posturing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like he's like, oh, tough man. When
I feel like they're both posturing though.
No, I think he's genuine. Like
right.
Like I think he is like, I'm a nice man. I don't deserve this. But then he's like, but also like,
yeah,
I will fucking die to, yeah. you know, I have this love in me that is going to, I'll die for this love in yeah. me. Like, you know, I've never felt this before and I'm not going back.
I quite like how they leave it where mm. it's just like, and that's it, you know, like
that's that. And then,
that's
like,
that. And then the bit that made me laugh was when he's walking out and he's like, get the fuck out of here, you fucking pervert or whatever.
What did I tell you?
He's like, oh, that's that. That's that. That's that. Like, he just wanted to get the last word in.
There's two more bits. One from like Sandler that I think encapsulates how good he is, and also like encapsulates like it's he's having a manic episode at this point in the movie when he's like looking at the pudding and he's like, she's going to Hawaii,
yeah,
and he brings Luis Guzman to go get the pudding,
yeah,
we need more pudding, and he is tap dancing yeah. in the
supermarket,
and you're like, if you were Luis Guzman with this guy, you're
what
like,
am I doing?
Like,
I was thinking, why is Luis Guzman doing this?
It's a job, like, you know, yeah. it's a good job that he's just like number two, and like he kind of like doesn't eat, you know, shit from his boss, and like yeah. he just has to kind of indulge him a little bit. Like, he's like, I'm gonna be on check. He's like, okay, like, and then it cuts to like the yeah, like I love it. Yeah, he's doing Charlie Chaplin, like, yeah. and then it's like the next scene, and the score doesn't break. And the next scene is like he's on the phone, like, no, no, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking punches
yeah.
the thing. Like, and you hear, I think yeah. that like really hurt his hand.
I got the impression.
Like, ah! Like, yeah. And yeah. then this is when I'm like, oh, he has, I knew he had the juice already. Like, I knew Anderson had the juice. But like when he puts his hand on the harmonium.
He's running it up and down the keys.
And then like the He Needs Me kicks in and he goes off to Hawaii. And there's a bit where he's on the phone. First of all, and that like he's on the phone to the sister.
Yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
He's like, just give me the fucking number.
Yeah, this should be enough for yeah, you. Just give me the fucking number.
Trying to fucking kill you. Is that what you want? I burst out laughing. I completely forgot about that. Like, yeah, he's like, yeah. why are you doing this to me? Like,
yeah.
But like him saying, I'm gonna fucking kill you. Is yeah. that what you want? Like, I don't know why I found that so funny. But it's like, that's also like, go Barry.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Even though she's the sister, it kind of seems. The nicest,
yeah, yeah, the best of a bad bunch, yeah. Really, like,
but the bit that I was like, oh, this is amazing, is when he's on the phone and he gets put through to the man's room, and you see him, and he's like, oh shit, she's a man is in the room,
yeah,
and he's like, oh no, wrong number, and then he's like, rings back to the reception. They're like, I want to talk to Lena. Is there should not be a man in the room, and like when she picks up, the song goes like, bling. And then the light at the phone box
oh, right.
goes on. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I was like, he got the fucking juice. And then
PT.
And then the next scene when they meet.
Yeah.
When she comes through that arch and like the two of them run together. Yeah. I was like, tears, Andy. tears. I think I'm broken in that. Like, I think my brain doesn't work properly. Like
any emotional.
I was listening to the soundtrack, the score today, and I was like, tears forming in my eyes. I'm like, keep it together, like on the train going to work. Like,
many times a day would you say that? Not a day.
How many times, I sometimes cry for no reason.
Many times a week would you well up? Would it be watching something, listening to something?
I think that's like the way it happens for me. Either that or my kids. But like if I'm watching something and that's how I get triggered.
Yeah, and then
like it's not.
And then you associate your stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah. I'm like, I don't know.
That's just like me and blah blah blah, yeah, or that whatever, time, you know, when blah blah blah.
Exactly. Yeah, that is how. And like Faye's like, it's only through like music and pop culture that you get emotional. I'm like, I can't explain it.
Yeah, I could see
that. I'm a robot, except for this stuff. Like,
it's weird because like I really do feel like I'm dead inside, but I'm also but I'm also so emotional.
Oh man!
You know, I was only I made a video just of Joni and Myla.
Oh, I saw it, man. It was. And, adorable.
And like, that was the Wes Anderson mm-hmm. series. I wouldn't use that song if it wasn't for that Nico song. And I'm just making it, I'm just like, I just start crying.
Yeah,
I'm just watching
course.
It. I'm like, and you know what I find as well? That if I listen, I think I might have said it on the pod before, but like, if I listen to a song, if I'm in the car singing a song that's like either haven't heard in ages or something from when I was like 16. A teenager or mm-hmm. early 20s or something like that, and like, I don't have any sad association with it. It was a song that I just haven't heard in a while. Like, I'll be singing along and then be like, oh, Nope. And, you know, like I get a lump in my throat or something. I'm like, what's that? And like I've actually Googled it. I'm like, what is that about some old song or something like that? You might have it with like movies more so, but like
constantly
where I'm just like, oh, like, oh, wasn't expecting that. Like, where's this feel surge coming from? You know, I can't. I feel like I have no control over it.
Is it because we're, I don't know if autopilot is the right term.
Yeah,
but like you're constantly like doing stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, so
you gotta
like,
get from A to B.
You're not slowed down.
You're
not slowed down to feel, and then when like you are,
maybe that's it.
Like these things are kind of like plucking at your,
yeah, maybe,
like your feelings are like, hey, we're down here, remember us? And then like hey, grab onto that music note, like I'm away. Like,
I do. I find that I can just get set off, and it is usually so. It's usually music or movies or, you know, the kids. But like
those are the big three.
Yeah. In no particular order.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't have anything else to say about the movie per se.
I loved this movie.
I think we should probably think about.
Yeah, yeah. I will say I loved it.
You loved it. Okay.
Rewatch it again very easily. Like,
yeah,
it's just, you said it's enchanting, it's charming. Yeah. It, I tell you,
where does it rank?
It blew up my rankings.
Ooh.
I'm retroactively moving things down. So I gave Boogie Nights a 9.5.
I knew you'd have to go back. There's no way you could sustain.
That's a 9.25.
No, 0.5 or 0. Let's be reasonable.
Right, Boogie Nights is a 9. Yeah. Magnolia is a 9.5.
Hardly.
That's still an 8. That's fine. That's different. That's in its own subject.
Okay.
And this is a 9.75. All right. This is the best one, Andy. This is the best one.
Whoa. Hey, yo.
And I don't know. I was like, oh, that's good. That's, you know, I put it on par with the other two. And then it, just the last few days, it's been sitting with me.
Nice.
Blown away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
yeah. The fact that this one made me cry. And then always made me cry subsequent times, many times. That's the sign of it for me.
Okay. So it goes Punch Drunk,
Magnolia,
Boogie Nights, Hardy. So literally in
stacking them on top of each other.
Reverse order.
Yeah.
Alright. I would I'd probably still give Magnolia the nod.
You gave that an 8.
Even no, I gave that an 8. I'd give this a 7.5.
Okay.
I think I gave Boogie Nights
a 7. I have it in the notebook.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. And then Hard Eight,
5. You gave it ridiculous.
Yeah. Never watched that movie again. If anyone said, oh, did you see Hard Eight? I'd be like, yeah. Do
no,
yourself
as long
a
as
favorite.
There are no follow up questions. Yeah. Ed Harris Award?
I will give it to, I'll give it to Adam Sandler.
Yeah, you got
great.
It.
He was his career defining, well,
it wasn't even, because like he never went, well, it took him a long time to go back. Like, you know?
Career high.
Yeah, yes.
Performance. So yeah, I liked it, but I didn't. Nothing has given me the wow.
Nothing yet.
No, not really.
Ah, come on.
No.
You said Magnolia last week.
That I liked it. Yeah, but like I, you know.
Well, next week.
It's kind of like you're.
Do you not?
It's kind of like you're in a prison cell, and someone hands you, like, you're used to getting slop and you're expecting slop. And then someone hands you like a nice cheeseburger with bacon. You're like, oh, this is nice. I mean, it's still shit, but this is nice. That's kind of what I was like with Magnolia. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
So the rest are slop. Can you not see what I'm talking about here with Anderson? With like how nobody's making movies like him.
No, I don't see it yet.
Oh, you don't see that?
No, but I'm not programmed to see it. You know what I mean? This is what this is all about.
But like, do you not see like these look different to other? No,
no,
they don't.
Apart from the long shots, I noticed the long shots and
but like
all that. I wouldn't cop other stuff.
Right. Okay.
I feel like everyone's doing their own thing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I know. This is blasphemy to you. But I'm not seeing it yet. I'm not seeing it yet. But I'm not, you know, not conditioned.
Right. Okay.
Yet.
I thought this one would have been.
You thought this one would blow the doors off?
No, I thought Magnolia. Like, I thought this one, you might have been like, I liked it more than Magnolia.
Hmm.
You know? But blow the doors off. I mean, the next one's going to blow the doors off. The next one is a modern masterpiece.
There Will Be Blood.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You're gonna. It's 2:30 or two something like that, right?
Says but so
you're gonna be
love
like
the runtime on this. God, what a fucking dream.
195, and I think Licorice Pizza is 140. So that's the last one we're gonna do. You know. Oh, and this is the last contemporary movie he's ever made.
What's that mean? What do you mean?
So like modern. The rest of them are all period pieces.
Oh, okay.
The rest of them. So this one is the next one is the late 1800s.
Right.
Master is post World War II, I think. And then, yeah. Inherent Vice, late 60s, all about the hippies, all that stuff.
I'll enjoy that.
Yeah. I don't think you will. let's wrap it up there. Get our plugs in.
First of all, we're doing a live show.
Hey.
By the time you see this, we'll be doing it this week. So,
get your tickets.
We're doing a live show looking at the ups and downs of Ireland throughout the years. The football team. Yes.
Not the country.
The Women's World Cup is on the week after. So we're doing a nice show to, you know, just look at the ups and downs. And it's going to be me. It's going to be Terry. It's going to be my brother, Tony. He's been on the pod a few times. And it's going to be a great time in the Bernard Shaw on the 13th of July. It's a Thursday.
Tickets are what, 15 quid?
Payday. Yes.
How can you go wrong?
15 quid.
How can you go wrong?
You literally can't lose.
Yeah.
So.
How can you lose?
But you can find us.
Downtown.
On Instagram at What's So Great About Pod. TikTok at What's So Great About Pod. And on Twitter at WSGApod.
And you can also find us, if you so choose or so inclined, over on the old Patreon for €5 a month. You get access to a load of great stuff. Early access to this episode, first of all. You get access to any solo pods that myself or Andy are doing.
Terry just did a very nice... And you know what? You know how I hate talking about movies? But I love listening to it. No, I don't hate talking about movies. But I listened to Terry's solo pod today and I really enjoyed it. Don't have to think of something to say back to you. I just enjoy listening to you rambling on. It was very good.
Oh, thank you.
thank you very much.
We also have access to all our back catalogue that we did originally on the Patreon. Access to What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Films, and What's So Great About 90s Action Movies as well.
How could you forget?
And then we had a bunch of top fives, a bunch of standalone listener requested episodes. If you're a patron member, you can request something for us to talk about.
Please.
We would gladly do it. We're running out of ideas. otherwise, you can get me personally over on Twitter at The Boy Toner, where I'm plugging my radio stuff, or there'll be some movie related gifs or quote tweets or whatever. And I think I'm Terry Toner 22 on Instagram, again probably just plugging the radio stuff on 8 Radio.
You can also find me at Andy Cantwell on all platforms except TikTok, where it's Andy Cantwell too.
Oh, and also we should have mentioned this at the start. Ed Salmon was supposed to be on the show this week. We advertised him last week, and due to a scheduling conflict, he couldn't make it. So he'll be back on in a couple of weeks.
Goodbye.
All at once I knew at once, I knew he needed me. Until the day I die, I won't know why, I knew he needed me. It could be fantasy, oh, or maybe it's I will because you for once in life, I finally felt that someone needed me.
Try these levels like ba ba da ba da ba ba da ba da ba ba da. I can't actually see. Can you see?
Go again.
I'm trying these levels like ba 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 da ba.
The 3/4 length.
Ba ba da ba ba da. Chang chang changity chang ba. That's okay. No.
Well, hold on. Let me point out.
It doesn't go all the way, does it? Chang chang changity chang ba. That's the way it should be. Wow. Yeah.
At its highest.